This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. You ever wear, do you wear dungarees or jeans? I wear them rarely. You know, I'm one of these guys that when I put on a pair of pants, that's kind of my pair of pants for 3 or 4 days, honestly. Maybe, not four, but three. And dungarees especially, you don't need to wash much. I don't wear dungarees that often. It's pretty rare. I'm pretty rare. I'm mostly a khakis kind of a guy, a slacks kind of a guy. Nothing against them. I just feel like, I don't know, you get a little bit more mobility with a pair of khakis or a pair of slacks. A little, breathes a little easier. Walk around a little easier. But, you know, once in a while, I wear a pair. You know what I end up wearing? I wear whatever I see comes up in my drawer or in my hanger rotation. So I end up wearing a bunch of the same clothes because that's the cycle, right? I have all these clothes that I don't even know. I just added a whole bunch of new clothes because I raided the Other Side of Midnight online store. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. North Korean TV has censored a BBC gardening presenter's pants. A 2010 episode of Alan Titchmarsh's Garden Secrets aired recently on Central TV. You know, don't you wonder about the kind of things that they air in North Korea? I wouldn't even know that they aired a gardening show, but they do. So it aired recently on Central TV, and this is not a joke. This is for real. They blurred out Titchmarsh's jeans. North Korean TV blurred out his jeans. North Korea has had laws. What a crazy place. North Korea has had laws banning jeans since the 1990s after then-ruler Kim Jong-il declared that symbols of U.S. imperialism, which apparently jeans are, were forbidden. And apparently jeans are a symbol of U.S. imperialism. My goodness. His son, Kim Jong-un, similarly dislikes them, and North Korea pirates some ideologically approved Western material for its state media. You know, how do we get on that list? I mean, obviously, the things that I say are so controversial and contradictory that I'm amazed that they even let me say them in America. But how do we get on the approved North Korean state media list? You know, with AI now, you don't even need to know a foreign language. They could edit, they could convert all the 20 hours a week that I'm doing of radio into Korean. Although, I don't know that my pronunciation of Connecticut would translate quite so well into Korean, but you never know. So they pirate some ideologically approved Western material for their state media. And in 2014, the BBC discussed gifting some inoffensive programs, although whether Garden Secrets was among them is unknown. Titchmarsh is a beloved and somewhat gentle figure, and he was amused by his unaccustomed outlaw status. He said, "I'm generally regarded as rather cozy and pretty harmless. So actually, it's given me a bit of street cred. That's cool. I like hearing stuff like that about a guy who's got a sense of humor about it. That's what my attitude would be. You know, I am wearing a denim jacket right now from the Other Side of Midnight online store. By the way, if you buy anything in that Other Side of Midnight online store, use that promo code Frank15 and we will give you 15% off. You know, whenever I think of North Korea and what a strange place it is, I always think about the trip that Ric Flair made to North Korea in 1995. They did a big thing, and it was heavily promoted by WCW. Muhammad Ali went there, and, you know, it was supposed to be a big initiative for wrestling and boxing to some extent to open up the diplomatic channels a little bit. So Muhammad Ali goes there, one of the most recognizable faces in the world, and he went there with a group of wrestlers, including Ric Flair. And this is when, you know, Muhammad Ali was clearly having a tough time communicating because of Parkinson's. He went with some tourists for an event in Pyongyang that was dubbed the International Sports and Cultural Festival. And back then, the meeting was centered around sports. And the translators that they had, that provided by Kim Jong-il, basically converted all of their answers into all of the American athletes thanking Kim Jong-il and the North Korean government. So they had these really interesting wrestling matches. I think it was a two-night affair. And you had Ric Flair, a man I consider to be the greatest wrestling entertainer in North American history. He took on a fellow legend by the name of Antonio Inoki. Antonio Inoki, very well known in the United States, but he's a legend in Japan. So really, it was quite a treat for the North Korean fans to see an American legend wrestling a North Korean legend. I mean, it's really incredible. It's almost like if you ever got to see, you know, I don't know. I mean, whatever's an appropriate analogy. There were 190,000 fans in attendance. 190,000 fans. Now, they didn't all come to see the match. Many of those in attendance were Korean tourists who made the trip hoping to find long-lost relatives that had been lost for decades. And it was described as one of the oddest events in the country's strange history of contact with the outside world, because they were hoping to lure Western tourists to Pyongyang, but those who showed up were just overseas Koreans looking for long-lost relatives. And they did the wrestling match, and the first night of the wrestling, Ric Flair was in the stands with some North Korean dignitaries or heads of the North Korean sports authorities, and they didn't understand that it was staged. You know, basically, you know, one North Korean, these are adults too, the North Korean lead sports official says, "Why doesn't that man get up?" or something like that. They didn't understand that it was staged. So Ric Flair writes in his book that it was very difficult to understand Muhammad Ali when he spoke, but they were at one function in North Korea, and they're sitting at a big round table with a group of North Korean luminaries when one of the guys starts rambling on and on and on about the moral superiority of North Korea and how they could take out the United States or Japan anytime they wanted. And then suddenly Muhammad Ali, even as difficult it was for him to talk, he pipes up clear as a bell. And I don't know if he said this to Ric Flair or if he said this to anybody within earshot. And he said, "No wonder we hate these mother effers." That's what he said about the North Koreans. So ultimately, the two trips showed the difference between, you know, a diplomatic athlete like Muhammad Ali versus somebody like Dennis Rodman. Well, Rodman, a lot of people say, was used as a pawn for Kim Jong-un. Ali, even in his deteriorating condition, was not going to be made a fool of. All right, 800-848-9222. If you're wearing dungarees, do not go to North Korea. That is my advice for you. Let me say hello to Joaquin in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Hi, Joaquin.
Frank, buddy, listen, man, salmon was a great choice. I love salmon.
Thank you very much.
So it's hard. You should have taken the asparagus. I love asparagus. You should have wrapped it in bacon. It would have been a real winner.
Well, I mean, she doesn't eat meat, my wife.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. Oh, God. Asparagus wrapped in bacon. I love asparagus by itself, anyway, with butter or whatever, you know, but wrapped in bacon is incredible. But anyway, dungarees, think about it, man. Break the word down. Dung.
You know, my friend Chick always says the same thing. She says, you know, dung is just another word for poop, and that's what dungarees are, basically.
I mean, I love jeans, don't get me wrong, you know, but when you actually break the word down, and when Levi Strauss, I guess, invented them back in the 1800s, and so I guess it was invented for farmers, you know. But can I talk about the no labels thing for a moment?
It's your dime, Joaquin. Go ahead.
All right. You know what? You see, I don't think that we're going to be able to come together left versus right because the differences are so big right now. And it comes down to basically, I believe that the left is bringing the communists into the World Economic Forum agenda. And believe me, I believe there's Republicans on that side also. So I don't have any good feelings towards John McCain and the Iraq War. I think I knew that years ago that it was jammed down our throats, because if you think about it, Iran and Iraq were natural enemies that kept each other at bay all the time. Why take out Saddam Hussein and the Iraqis?
You're exactly right. And then you saw what happened. I mean, again, I don't want to, you know, redo the Iraq War, but they take out this government at substantial cost, both in terms of human lives and actual treasure in Iraq. And they work so hard to allow the Iraqis to have elections. And what do? They elect a government that is much more comfortable with the Iranians than the United States. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's a textbook example of what not to do, and yet we keep repeating this again and again. I mean, it's just terrible. In Libya, we're part of the regime change there, and if they could elect Muammar Gaddafi today, they would. It looks like they may elect his son as the new president. In Egypt, we're part of the regime change war there. We make sure they have elections, and who do they elect? They elect the Muslim Brotherhood with Morsi. And then obviously General al-Sisi comes about a bit later. But it's just it's the same movie over and over again. You wonder how many times we can sit through the same movie and expect a different ending. And yet, sure enough, you know, this neocon movement to bring democracy everywhere, they're always able to convince people. Does it have anything to do with all the people that are going to make money from these wars? I suspect that it might. You know, I have been following Ted Danson's career since Cheers. And he's great these days on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He was terrific in Three Men and a Baby. And I'm a fan, always been a fan of his work. I even enjoyed the show that he was on with his wife, Mary Steenburgen, Inc., where they play, you know, a couple that works at a newspaper together. I enjoyed that. And there were a bunch of other places, other shows that he's done over the years that I haven't seen but have been very, very highly rated by both critics and audiences. One is Becker. I never saw it, but people liked it. So what I did not know is that he suffers, as I do, from psoriasis, plaque psoriasis. The most common form of psoriasis, in which is a condition where the immune system causes skin cells to multiply too quickly, and it leads to patches of red skin with stiff white scaling. Danson first noticed this when he was 25 years old. I think that was around the time that I first noticed it. I might have been a little older, actually. But he told this this publication, Very Well Health, it was embarrassing, and it made me angry and scared. I felt victimized by my body, and I didn't know what to do about it. So Danson's dermatologist prescribed a topical medication, which was the best treatment available at the time, but I knew none of this, and I'm glad he came forward and spoke about this. And I give credit to anybody that speaks about psoriasis, especially people that are well-known who you know, who can kind of destigmatize psoriasis a bit, like Kim Kardashian, who I've got a lot of respect for, not just for this, but for a lot of the things that she does. Leanne Rimes, John Lovitz, who's one of the funniest people on earth. But his condition continued to worsen, and he even developed, eventually, psoriatic arthritis. I had no idea that he had psoriatic arthritis. Thankfully, I don't have that, but a lot of people that have psoriasis do get psoriatic arthritis. So he said his condition began to improve about 20 years ago when he started taking a medication that targeted the root cause of his psoriasis, which was an overzealous immune system. And he said, my treatment has helped dampen my body's inflammation and it's protecting my joints. He didn't mention the specific treatment, but I was glad that he came forward with this because he said that people always come up to him expecting the handsome guy from Cheers, Sam Malone, when in actuality, you know, he's just as insecure about his appearance as anybody else that deals with psoriasis. He said people would come up and compliment me or think of me as Sam Malone or whatever, and I was always lying because part of my brain was going, if only you knew. And he goes on to say, this is not a boo-hoo moment, meaning life has been very kind to me. I'm so blessed. But it does make you feel like you got to hide something, and that's not a good way to go through life. For those of you that do watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I have to tell you, I think this season is just phenomenal. He is in a romantic relationship, and this is going back a couple of seasons, so it's not giving anything away. He's in a romantic relationship with Larry David's fictional ex-wife, who's played by Cheryl Hines, who in real life is the wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And she was out there with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in Oakland yesterday. So it was interesting to see her. I do wonder how much of a role she's going to play on the campaign, you know, over the course of the next 8 months. We'll see. 800-848-9222. Joe is in the Queens. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, Frank, I have two comments and a question for you. First on North Korea. One of the things that was interesting is they had an aerial views in past times where there was much less overhead night lighting in North Korea as opposed to South Korea, indicating that they don't use electricity at night, apparently. And in the newspapers, they had the father's picture on every page, as you turn the page. So you wonder if they've changed due to outside influences, if they're on the web.
Yeah. I have no idea, honestly.
Yeah, but it is, you know, it's funny. I was wearing blue jeans and, like, maybe I was 27 or something, and I got shamed by some girls. She's saying, what do you think? You're a kid wearing blue jeans. You know, I was wearing, like, Lee's. But my question for you is, say you were, like, in high school, college, or something like that, did you wear either sneakers or a certain shirt that had a certain color that made you feel in the moment better about yourself?
I mean, look, I think when you're wearing clothes that you're comfortable in, meaning the physical comfort of how they feel on your body or on your feet, plus the comfort of how they look, you're always going to feel better about it. I don't know that I have a specific outfit in mind, honestly.
Yeah, because I felt like a certain color shirt at one point. I just felt better about myself. Maybe it was whatever it was. It might have been like a reddish type of thing where for some reason my ego was enhanced by a color of the shirt I wore that I felt.
What color was it? Just curious.
About. It might have been like oranges, like a striped shirt, you know, with striped colors. All of a sudden, I felt better about myself putting on a couple of shirts like that. You know, I felt like a boost to my ego, Frank. I found it a little bit strange.
Good. Know? All right, Joe. Well, hey, whatever works for you. That's my belief. Thank you.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much. 800-848-9222. Have you heard the one about the police department that replaces suspects' heads with Legos? I know this sounds silly, but this is true. There's a police department in Murrieta, California, that would post suspects being arrested or being part of a lineup or, you know, things like that. But they didn't want to post the suspect's face. So they would edit out their face and put up a logo, a Lego face over the human face. Like the face that would be in a Lego character is edited on to the photo to protect the identity of the perp. So, and honestly, these pictures are hilarious. I mean, you see these people that are in the midst of very serious crimes, presumably, or sometimes not so serious, or lineups, and they're wearing, they have a dopey Lego face on. I mean, it's like you're combining humans and toys. It's kind of cool. I liked it. I thought it was kind of creative. But a California police department, it said it would no longer use Lego heads to obscure suspects' faces in social media posts after the Lego group requested the department cease the practice, citing intellectual property concerns. Here is Murrieta Police Department Lieutenant Jeremy Durant, who addressed the Lego mugshot controversy.
A little fun, get some attention, you know, game the social media algorithms, generate some attraction, it likes, follows, stuff like that. At the same time, making sure we're remaining compliant with state law and respecting the suspect's rights as well. So, again, that's that fine line of maintaining that balance.
I mean, I guess I get what Lego is trying to do here. They view themselves as a children's toy, kind of a fun product. They don't want to be, you know, getting involved in any serious criminal matters. I think they should get a little bit of a sense of humor, though. I think this is great. I think it's great that they're respecting the rights of the people that they're arrested, not plastering someone that's arrested for something and hasn't been convicted of anything all over television. And they're having a little fun. They're putting a Lego face on there. You know, if you go to the Other Side of Midnight online store, which I hope you do, we have all these products where they've replaced my face, and I'm not joking. It's kind of cool, I think. Nobody asked my permission, but they did it. They replaced my face with an alien. So you can get, not joking, you get a shirt, you get a mug, I think a hat, where it's my body, the kind of suit that I would wear, even the kind of lapel pin that I wear, and then my face has been replaced with an alien. So I am going to be offering to the Murrieta, California Police Department that, by the way, if you want to go to that online store, you can go to store.othersideofmidnightshow.com. That's store.othersideofmidnightshow.com. Just use the promo code FRANK10 and you could save 10% off. But I am offering to the Murrieta, California Police Department that if they want to use my face as the face of any of these perps, be my guest. I think that'd be hysterical. You see a lineup of five Frank Moranos all wanted for a crime or someone in handcuffs being, you know, put in the back of a police car. Might this be bad for my reputation? Maybe. But I still think it's worth it from a humor perspective. And if I am ever arrested for something in the jurisdiction in which I live and they're plastering my picture all over the place, I say, no. That must be from Murrieta, California, where they use my face for everything. It'd be like in that movie, Being John Malkovich, where you look in every direction. There's five John Malkoviches. I am serious about this. I want the Murrieta, California Police Department, since they're not using Lego faces anymore, use mine. Use mine. I could use the publicity. It's a face that only a mother could love. Perhaps it's a face that could protect the civil liberties of a perp and help the Murrieta cops out of a jam. All right, 800-848-9222. I'm curious, do you think there's anything wrong with a police department using Legos to obscure faces? And why or why not? Tony, you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, those toys are made for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and you're destroying the image.
Okay. All right. I guess that's what they're thinking.
Does Carmine play with Legos?
Yeah, but I don't think he'd care.
I mean, but he's 2 years old.
Right.
If he was 5 years old, it'd be a different story. Come on
right,
now.
But let's say it would be, right? So, but I'm trying to envision the scenario in which he or I would be upset with this situation where Is he scrolling social media and following the social media account of the Marietta?
Not at 5 years old, no.
At the Marietta Police Department and saying, oh my goodness, someone who's arrested for assault has a Lego head. I'm not playing with Legos anymore. I don't think he'd care.
No, no, like he's 5 years old, but if you're the owner of Legos, would you like that?
Well, you don't even have to make it a hypothetical because the owner of Legos does not like it. Okay. They ask them to stop.
What about, Mommy, why is a Lego fireman stealing from the liquor store?
Son, there are good Legos and there are bad Legos. That's it. So I appreciate the fact that they were trying to inject a little humor while protecting civil liberties. That's to me what it's all about. Protecting constitutional liberties and having a sense of humor. And if you could do both simultaneously, I'm all for it. All right, we'll get to your calls in a moment. We have two open lines, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I can't remember when you were there, when I didn't care for anyone but you. I swear we've been through everything there is. Can't imagine anything we've missed. Can't imagine anything the two of us can't do. Through the years, you've never let me down. You've turned my life
34
around.
Minutes after the hour. This is the Other Side of Midnight. This is Kenny Rogers, Through the Years. This is another birthday bumper music selection from my Aunt Madeline, who's also my godmother and a wonderful lady. And also one of the luckiest people you'll ever meet. She lives in Pennsylvania now, so she goes to the casino out there. But in the years that she would go to Atlantic City, and I think she still goes there once in a while, she would always win. You know, she would go, my grandmother would go, my cousin would go. I was usually too young. And by the way, big shout out to all of our listeners listening in South Jersey right now on WOND Talk 1400. Honored to be on that great radio station. But she would always win. So-and-so, my grandmother would lose, my cousin would lose. My Aunt Connie would lose. My Aunt Madeline always would win. Always ahead of the game. So there you have it. All right. People are weighing in on the Lego controversy. Most people agree with Tony and Matt Blaze here. And I guess I do too, intellectually. You know, my point is you don't always have to make an issue of your trademark. I remember there was a porta potty company that was using one of Johnny Carson's trademarks, or not trademarks, one of his phrases, and using a Johnny Carson-like term to market it. And Johnny Carson sued them, and he won. He got them to stop, but he ended up spending a whole bunch of money to stop this tiny little porta potty company from using his Johnny Carson phrase, whatever it was. And he ended up looking so petty. And small. Same thing is happening now with Jack Daniels. There's a doggy chew toy that's modeled after a bottle of Jack Daniels. I recognize the importance of trademarks and copyright. I do. Sometimes, you gotta give people a little bit of leeway for humor's sake. I am such a groupie for Ralph Nader. I remember when he ran for president in the year 2000, he did a series of campaign ads that were brilliantly put together by a terrific online ad man who has, I think, been a guest on this show. Bill Hilsman is his name. He's written a book about his time working for Nader and Jesse Ventura and others. And they satirized the American Express commercials. You know those American Express commercials that make clear that all you need in life, all of those warm, fuzzy feelings that are about what life's important can all be brought to you by an American Express. It'll say, it'll show a father and son at a baseball game, and it'll say something like, $45 admission to a ball game, $6.50. The price of a hot dog and a soda. Spending time with the ones you love, priceless. You remember all those ads? They were big all over the place. So Ralph Nader did a whole bunch of satires of those ads. And satire is viewed differently than public information campaigns by the police, certainly. But Ralph, he basically would do something like, the opportunity to meet Al Gore or George Bush, $10,000. Shake their hand and take a picture, $25,000. And then it would show a picture of Ralph Nader working quietly in his office, and it would say something like 40 years of taking on corporations and people that are ripping off Americans, priceless. And American Express sued him. And of course, this was the most idiotic thing that they could do, because all the news outlets then replayed these Nader ads 100 times, giving them all them that much more exposure for the ads. But American Express looked very petty.
MasterCard.
Oh, it was MasterCard. Yeah, MasterCard. Well, whatever. I mean, it's 25 years ago. I don't remember. They're all the same. 800-848-9222. So American Express was don't leave home without it, right? So MasterCard was priceless. Okay. American Express has had a few good ad campaigns over the years. I remember the ones with Carl Malden. Do you know who I am? That was a good one. And then my all-time favorite, because I'm such a Seinfeld fan and a comic book fan. Don't do this now, because you need a few minutes to watch this. They did a commercial with Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, and an animated version of Superman. And this commercial, regular 30-second spot, was very popular. It's an animated cartoon Superman walking the streets with Jerry Seinfeld, who's live action, who's a human. And they're talking as if they're two celebrities walking down the street. And then, of course, American Express saves the day somehow. It's a 30-second spot, but it was so popular that American Express did these two short videos, these webisodes. There's two of them. They're about 4 minutes each, called The Adventures of Seinfeld and Superman. They are, to this day, the funniest thing I've ever seen from a commercial entity. So I'm not bashing, just any American Express just for the sake of bashing them. It was very well done. In fact, I'll link to those Adventures of Seinfeld and Superman on my Facebook, but you got to promise me that you will not watch them until after the show, because they are so good that you're not going to be able to stop watching them. Don't watch it now. Watch them later. All right. 800-848-9222. Robert is in Suffolk. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good morning, Frank.
Morning.
Trademark and brand issue aside, which is legitimate, the public's right to know is really paramount, because in a majority of cases, the suspect is guilty of other crimes. They or can be accused of other crimes, be identified by publication of photos.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Robert, and I guess I understand it. I don't like the idea, before someone's convicted, of putting their name all over the place and their picture all over the place, as if they're after they're guilty of everything they're charged with. The old phrase by Ray Donovan, "Where do I go to get my reputation back?" It really rings true. I mean, Dominique Strauss-Kahn was accused of very serious crimes, sexual assault and more. And this was a very well-respected man internationally. and they posted his picture all over the world as a real villain. And it turns out he was exonerated. And that's happened time and time again. Now, it's different if you're a high-profile person than if you're just an average, ordinary, rank-and-file person. But I don't know. I see both sides. I see both sides of it. I just think it's hilarious to look at these people putting in the going to the back of a police car with a Lego head on their face. I think it's hysterical. Hey, a couple of things. We have been following this situation involving this Baltimore bridge collapse, and it's a very sad situation. And as I understand, they were able to retrieve the bodies of two people, and there are four people that are presumed dead. I find everything about this so sad. I think the bridge should have had better barriers to prevent the ship from colliding with it. I've been getting emails for a good portion of the day with various conspiracy theories that sound very much like Lara Logan on Steve Bannon's program.
I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America.
I still think it was an accident. But a lot of people have sent me emails and a bunch of other things indicating that they believe otherwise. So one of the things that's tough is, and by the way, the families of these construction workers that have died are mourning their families. Maryland people are just doing whatever they can to help these people's families. But a lot of them live in places like Mexico or Central America. So at least eight people went into the water. Two were rescued, but the other six, part of this construction crew that had been filling the potholes, they're missing and presumed dead. And a lot of their families are abroad. They're not even in the country. So it's a really sad situation for them to have to go through this and be in a foreign country and with everything like you know, along those lines. By the way, more and more people are starting to say the same thing that the caller yesterday brought up about the company that owned this ship. Well, she said Singapore, but I said it should be the company that owned this ship that's responsible for this. They say that the marine insurance industry is bracing for huge claims, potentially the biggest of all time, from this Baltimore Bridge disaster. The claims could be on par with the $1.5 billion or more from the Costa Concordia disaster. So insurance claims could include damage to the ship, business interruption, and worker compensation. So it's projected to be in the billions. But I don't understand why they wouldn't be responsible for the entirety of the costs of the bridge. And I didn't see that mentioned in any of these articles, but I'm going to dig more deeply into this. Well, anyway, one of the conspiracy theories that several people sent me has to do with Angela Chow, the sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell, who died, unfortunately, on her ranch when it went into her Tesla went into the river. And so some of the people were writing to me that that she had been the CEO of the company that owns Dolly. And that's not true. Chow was the CEO and the chair of her family's shipping business, which is a New York-based company. Dolly is owned by Grace Ocean Private LTD and managed by Synergy Marine Group, both of which are based in Singapore. And the Danish shipping giant Maersk said it had chartered the vessel. So a lot of social media users are falsely claiming that Chow is somehow connected to the collapse of this bridge. It's not true. Not true at all. So there you have it. Okay. 800-848-9222. Robbie is in the Bronx. Hi, Robbie.
Harvey.
Harvey.
Anyway, I saw Joe Lieberman this Shabbat at the Riverdale Jewish Center. That's where he goes to for the services. And people commented that he looked very gaunt. Now, it's very interesting because this was one of the most important Saturdays. It's the Shabbat before Purim. It's called the Shabbat of Remembrance. We're supposed to remember our enemies and wipe them out, as the Torah says. And Joe Lieberman was there because of the importance that people commented he looked gaunt. And there's like a little kiddish club where people have a drink. He doesn't really seem to drink much. He just goes there to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of comments. My brother worked for Joe Lieberman as an attorney in Hartford, Connecticut. And I have to tell you two important incidents. His father died in 1990s. He sent out a news release. He said, "You'll have to excuse my appearance. Because of the Jewish law, I can't shave and take a haircut for 30 days. So please excuse me. It's in honor of my father." That was one incident. Also, another incident, my brother went to a court. He was wearing a skull cap. And the judge said, "Whatever's on your head, take it off." Well, he did. So Joe Lieberman called up the judge and said, "Don't start up with my attorneys if you know what's good for you." And the case went to the circuit court, and he won the case. I have to say a couple other anecdotes.
Yeah, Harvey, let's hold those for another day. I think those two are probably sufficient. People are appropriately scintillated. 800-848-9222. Joel is in Manhattan. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Frank. Real smorgasbord tonight. First, on the Lego thing, let's face it, it's Lego shaming, and that's the real reason why.
Wait. So they're Lego shaming, meaning the brand looks worse.
No, not the brand. The brand can never have negative advertising for a brand.
Right.
You know,
that's why I want my face on.
You put something out there, it's false.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's always the case. But it's just the Lego, the individual building blocks themselves. That's Lego shaming. Cheryl Hines, if she is the first lady, this is going to be a riot. I really think that if this happens, there should be a new show that is one of the streaming networks where she's the first lady. She's dealing with her husband who's like running the show. I mean, that would be the new curb. And then going back to the first part about the fall, I experienced a few recently. Actually, I was launched off my bike and I broke my shoulder and my elbow.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm recouping. I'm about 2 months down the line now on the shoulder break. It's the humerus. And believe me, you will lose your humor real quick. Your stand-up qualities will disappear. It is painful. Elbow, not so bad, really. Years ago, I had a break in my wrist. And they just gave me a sedative when they put in a plate in it. And they played these two songs, Live and Let Die and Won't Get Fooled Again, which I thought was kind of comical at the time. And then 4 years ago, I was inches away from the door when I was on a ladder. I fell off of it and I lacerated my liver and I bled internally for about 2 days. But they resurrected me and brought back to life. So I'm still kicking. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? But, it can happen at any age. And I was a little over 60 then. So, life goes by. Anyway.
Right. Well, I'm glad you're still here, Joel.
Yeah, well, it's good to be on the other end of the line. And I'm sorry to hear Mr. Lieberman going, because he was a great statesman along the way. I think he did a lot for our country.
Yeah, thank you, Joel. I appreciate the... I appreciate the comments very much. All right, we'll continue with your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Thank you. the great Lady Gaga, one of the greatest entertainers and singers in the world. She is 38 years old today, celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, Lady Gaga. What a career. What a body of work for 38 years old. My goodness. And a fellow NYU alumnus, so I've always been partial to her. I normally would only read this message when we go through the mail, but it's too funny for me not to read. So we were talking about the Lego situation, and basically I said I think Lego should get a little bit of a sense of humor about this. I got an email here from Joan, who writes the following in bold and italicized letters. Just turned your program off. Your screw you, quotes, to American trademark law is really annoying, spreads disinformation, and is totally beneath what I want to listen to. Opinion, fine. But your childlike and ignorant rant is below you. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's not. I had no idea that trademark law had so many defenders. And I had no idea that poking fun at trademark law or doing a screw you to American trademark law would have such a backlash. Who knows? Wait till you see what happens when I start poking fun at tax law. Forget about it. When I get to administrative law, forget about it. People are going to go crazy. When I get to estate planning law, I'm going to have no listeners left. Don't even get me started on bankruptcy law, property law, securities law. I have a screw you ready for each of them. For instance, you want to talk about tax law. A lot of very apropos this time of year. Why did the accountant break up with the tax attorney? Because they couldn't handle the deductions anymore. Why did the administrative law judge go to therapy? Because they couldn't handle all the regulations anymore. Why did the bankrupt lawyer go to the bakery? Because they needed a fresh start with some dough. Why did the property lawyer bring a ladder to court? Because they had a case that was really high in jurisdiction. Okay, there you go. I'm going to give the antitrust law people and the family law defenders a little bit of a break. Hey, so on next Friday, Nick Pope, who's a regular guest on this show, we have him talk about aliens and a lot of other things. He was here last week, and he invited me to come when he's moderating an upcoming Ancient Aliens show not far from where I live. I love that. I'd love to do more of that, but honestly, I don't have time, and no one's asking. But he said, why don't you come to the show? I can get you VIP tickets. If you and your wife want to come, that'll be great. So I asked my wife. She has other plans that day. But she said, why don't we try and get a babysitter for Carmine, maybe one of his grandparents, and maybe you can go with someone more interested in the subject, because she's not into ancient aliens and that kind of thing like I am. So I have so far asked, you know, a number of different social groups, and my neighbor group, no takers, my in-laws, no takers. So far, though, I did get, just right before the show, a little bit of a bit of interest from my brother Nick. So he sounds like he might want to go. I'm trying to figure out if this is one of those things where I agree to go and it sounds good a week before, but then when it comes time for me to, on a Friday night, actually drive all the way out to New Brunswick and sit in a show that I'm going to try and get out of it. That'll probably be the case, but, you know, Nick Pope was kind enough to invite me. I feel like I should try and go. So if my brother Nick wants to go, then we'll probably go. And, you know, what I'm thinking is for the show, there's all these great Ancient Aliens guests that I can, you know, steal for our show and talk about alien stuff with them. Maybe even meet some of them at the show and invite them on the program. That's a great show, Ancient Aliens. It really is. They do a lot of thought-provoking subjects that make you really just make you think. Is a lot of it crazy? Absolutely. But it's entertainment. I think as long as you don't view it Talmudically, you're going to be just fine. You can enjoy it for what it is. Your influence counts. Use it.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.